for services there. Well, that certainly takes a load off of practitioners who want to do business with that particular model. They don't have to buy the real estate, build an office and equip it, or run inventories. So, I mean, those models are already available. And we think by clearing up the kinds of situations where related businesses, dental management type businesses that want to operate and want to allow, we want to allow them to do what kind of administrative functions might be helpful for the dental offices, certainly are ways to help promote. And also, the kinds of charitable clinics that are cleared up or clarified in the first seven or so sections, those are providing a lot of care to needy people. I mean, we have federally qualified health centers. They're not all rural. They're, as I understand it, funded with some federal money, and there may be some state or local money in there, too. And there are charitable clinics. Those are the places that we usually see a lot of people. Northwest Medical Teams does a real good job with vans going to migrant camps and schools that where they get calls like, we need some help, we need somebody to come out here. So we think there are lots of opportunities, ways to improve service in rural areas.
Thank you, Jane. Colleagues, we're running up against it here, so we try to move the rest of this hearing along. Are you all set? I think we'll bring up the next panel. We have three left on the list. We'll bring up Ronald Short, Dr. Short. Okay, I guess we'll bring up Gene Skordis and Doug Barber as well, in the interest of time. Dr. Short, please proceed.
Chair Cruz and members of the committee, I am Ronald Short. I'm a dentist from Klamath Falls, and I'm also president of the Oregon Board of Dentistry. The Board of Dentistry supports HB 2964, which changes the statute regarding ownership, operation, and management of dental practices to accommodate longstanding business arrangements. Board of Dentistry supports HB 2964, which changes the statute regarding ownership, operation, and management of dental practices to accommodate longstanding business arrangements that provide access to care for many disadvantaged Oregonians, and to recognize modern realities of financing an expensive practice and tax and estate planning advantages for the sole practitioner or small partnerships. There are many organizations in Oregon providing dental care to our most needy citizens that a 2001 Attorney General opinion determined are not in compliance with the requirements of our law as it is currently written. These include county government health clinics, nonprofit charitable organizations, and federally qualified community health centers. In addition, because of the strictures of the current law, a dentist may not enter into any business ownership relationships that includes non-dentists or dental practice. The board receives phone calls every week asking if this arrangement is allowed. Clearly, there is a desire for this business arrangement. The board has studied these issues through the work of its own subcommittee on ownership, and I also served on the Oregon Dental Association's Task Force on Ownership. The board has determined that there is no increased public protection risk if the following changes are made to ORS 679. Number one, government entities such as county health departments should be authorized to own, operate, and manage dental clinics. Number two, federally qualified health centers authorized by the United States Public Health Services Act and the Federal Bureau of Primary Health Care should be authorized to own, operate, and manage dental clinics. Examples of CHCs in Oregon include the Open Door Family Practice in Klamath Falls, La Clinica in Woodburn and Hood River, Siskiyou Community Health Center in Grants Pass, the Russell Street Clinic in Portland and the Virginia Garcia Health Center in Washington County. Number three, nonprofit charitable organizations should be allowed to operate dental clinics. Examples include the Northwest Medical Teams, the Creston Dental Clinic in Portland, and the Kempel Children's Dental Clinic in Bend. Number four, dentists should be allowed to enter into business arrangements with non-dentists that allow the non-dentist to own a minority share of the business. Number five, provisions should be made for the orderly transition of a dental practice upon the death or disability of an owner-dentist. Such provisions might include the operation of a dental clinic by a non-dentist for 6 months to 1 year. In addition, to assure that the dental patient is adequately protected, the board feels that it is important that multi-practitioner dental practices name an actively licensed dentist to act as the dental director who shall be responsible for the clinical practice of dentistry and the overall quality of patient care rendered in the dental clinic. The board has no objection to the -1 amendment. Thank you for consideration of these comments.
Thank you, Dr. Short. Any questions, Representative Tomei?
Great question. It's curious to me that the board differs from the ODA and your positions here, and I'm just wondering, of what is the board constituted? I don't need the names of people, but the positions of people who are on the board. I mean, are they dentists? Are they physicians?
Chairman and Representative Tomei, the Board of Dentistry has 9 members. We have 1 lay member, 2 dental hygienists, and 6 dentists.
Thank you.
Further questions? Seeing none. Doug, go ahead.
Chair Dalto, members of the committee, my name is Doug Barber, here today representing Willamette Dental Group. In the interest of time, let me just say that we support House Bill 2964, including the -1 amendments. The same position is taken by the Board of Dentistry. And here today with me is Dr. Gene Skurdes, who is the president of Willamette Dental Group. Dr. Skurdes?
Chair Kreese and committee members, my name is Dr. Gene Skurdes. I've been a dentist for 30 years, graduated from the University of Oregon, and I'm also an ODA member. And we represent about 22 dental offices throughout the state, about 120 dentists. And prior to this year, we used to have about 60,000 Oregon Health Plan patients. I think we're down 15,000, and we're hoping that there's no further decrease. But I, too, support HB Bill 2964. Representative Bates misspoke. I own 100% of Willamette Dental Group, so there is no violation of the Dental Practice Act. But I do think it will be good for Oregon if there is minority ownership. I don't understand why the ODA is opposed to it when there has been so many non-owner dentists things in the state for many years. The Teamsters have been around since 1968. We talk about the dental school. We talk about the Northwest Medical Teams. We talk about these safety net clinics. If there was some risk to the public self and safety or the health of the public, there should have been something coming out of it. The fact, like you did say, that the Board of Dentistry does support it. They're the ones who regulate our license. They're the ones who are going to make sure that we treat patients well. As you can see in my notes, we do deal with, we have our own insurance company. We deal with many insurances, and there's plenty of patient protection. If a patient has any complaints, they can notify the insurance company. We have peer review, we have chart audits. All these things are there for the safety of the patient. I don't think that 25% ownership is going to cause the destruction of dentistry. Physicians have had 49% minority ownership. I support it because, again, it could help my organization with tax planning. With equity, you can get money into your practice without having to pay it back or having to pay interest. That can be very, very important. And I was a little bit the comment about how much profit we're making. Our profit is about 2 to 2.25% administratively, and so it's not like we're treating the Oregon Health Plan patients and keeping all the administration. 98% of it is going into the treatment of the patients. I'll be happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Questions? Gentlemen, thank you very much. For several reasons, I'm going to close the public hearing on 2964 and open a public hearing on 3508. Sandy.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 3508 directs the Oregon Board of Dentistry to adopt rules regulating the qualifications, training, education, and supervision of persons who operate X-ray machines within the practice of dentistry. It discontinues the regulation of the X-ray machine operators within the practice of dentistry from the Department of Human Services, who has been operating the program for quite a long time.
Okay, and because it's her birthday, I'm going to call up Gail Shibley first. Don't worry about it. Please go ahead, Gail.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. It is indeed a good day in Oregon. this native girl is proud to call to be home for her birthday this year. For the record, I am Gail Shibley. I'm the administrator of the Office of Public Health Services in the Department of Human Services, and I am testifying to voice our department's concern about and thus opposition to HB 3508 to remove departmental oversight of X-ray machine operators within dental services. This department is the state radiation control agency and is responsible for protecting both workers and the public against radiation hazards. We do this by registering and inspecting more than 3,000 facilities that operate more than 8,000 X-ray machines throughout Oregon. We have had this regulatory responsibility since about 1948 in one agency form or another, Oregon Health Division, Oregon State Board of Health, and now Department of Human Services. We also review the radiation safety training provided to all operators of X-ray machine, X-ray equipment for adequacy, including the radiation safety training provided to dental operators of X-ray machines. This, our authority is quite consistent with providing for occupational radiation safety for all workers using sources of radiation in their daily work and helps to protect members of the public by assuring that a consistent standard of training is required for all operators of X-ray machines or other sources of radiation. Passage of House Bill 3508 would remove an important part of the radiation safety role of the department by carving out one single exception for dental services to be taken from this integrated radiation protection oversight. Simply from a public health perspective, it is critical, we believe, to assure adequate training for all operators of X-ray machines, whether those machines are used in a medical setting, by hospitals, medical clinics, veterinarians, podiatrists, radiologists, dentists, chiropractors, or others, or in academic or industrial facilities. We are working with the dental community and are committed to continuing to work with them to try to resolve issues regarding regulatory language related to radiation safety training requirements for dental assistants. We value the relationship we have with all of our licensees. Furthermore, we're working to address concerns related to reciprocity in recognizing training provided outside of Oregon for dental assistants seeking jobs in Oregon. X-ray machine operator training for dental services in Oregon is top-notch. Oregon students consistently score at the highest levels nationally in passing the Dental Assistance National Boards, or the so-called DANBY tests. This top level of safety assurance and technical training is a point of pride in Oregon and something we can all celebrate. However, House Bill 3508 could threaten our national standing. that we value our continuing relationship with dental services practitioners. The department must oppose this legislation. Current statutory authority under ORS 453 consistently applies good radiation safety training practices for all users of X-ray machines and other radiation sources that protect both workers and members of the public. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, again, thank you for allowing me to testify today. I'd be happy to try to answer any questions.
Any questions? Phil, thank you very much.
Thank you.
I'm going to call up Representative Anderson, Beryl Fletcher, and Jane Myers.
Mr. Chair, in the interest of time, I'll carry on a discussion in the work session.
Okay. Well, then we won't call up Representative Anderson. Okay.
Chair and committee members, my name is Beryl Fletcher. I'm the Director of Professional Affairs for the Oregon Dental Association and one of the staff people at the ODA that's worked for about 14 years with this particular issue for the dentists and their staff in the state of Oregon. House Bill 3508 was requested by the ODA, and it returns authority for operator training requirements to expose X-rays to the Board of Dentistry. It is similar to House Bill 3525 requested in 1999, which was withdrawn from the process because we thought the problem had been resolved informally between the board, the health division, and the ODA. It is clear to us that the problem still exists and would benefit from a legislative solution. For years, the Board of Dentistry, who is under the health division, certified dental assistants for radiography and decided on the training requirements, much like almost every state in the nation. This was working satisfactorily and safely until sometime in 1993 or 1994. The board's attorney general said that the board did not have the authority to impose requirements that had not been approved by the health division. After many meetings to discuss how to implement a reasonable requirement, ODA requested the health division to change its rules. Our research shows that Oregon has a high hourly classroom training requirement when compared to other states. Even though other states use the DANBY exam and the Dental Assisting National Board's training, they don't cite a specific hourly amount. Many other states simply require competency without making those statutory hourly requirements for classroom hours. Washington and Idaho are two examples, and a few years ago I did a survey showing what other states require. The majority of the other states show that the licensing board for their board of dentistry holds the responsibility to determine what the requirements are, but more importantly, they all use pretty much the Dental Assisting National Board exam to show competency and ask that they take a course, but not necessarily specifying an hourly amount. The agreement reached in 1999 fell short of our expectations after the legislature adjourned. We've been working since then to get the health division personnel to recognize the unnecessary barrier imposed by its 40 hours of classroom work, plus the Board of Dentistry's 10 hours of practice in the clinic. This kind of limits the distance learning programs. If you're familiar with any of the, obviously, the higher ed and so forth, there's lots of ways to learn besides sitting in a chair in a classroom. The Board of Dentistry was going to request this legislation, but apparently the executive department did not approve and also imposes a protocol that will not let the board testify in support of the bill that is opposed by the health division or health service. Our members think that competency is demonstrated by the passage of the Dental Assistants National Board exam and that these hourly classroom requirements are excessive. However, in deference to the board's draft of legislation, we in good faith requested the same language that gives them the authority to set the standards. Nothing in this legislation suggests removing the Dental Assisting National Board exam or that people should take some training. We encourage passage of House Bill 3508 to overcome this unfair barrier for dental assistants to enter the workforce. One instance would be if people are coming from other states, and if they've been past the DANBY in the other states and they come here, if they can't prove that they have had that hourly requirement, they really it's difficult. There's a hoop, many hoops to go through in order to be able to get and do what they've been allowed in other states to do. Dr. Janet Peterson, in your materials here, vice president of our organization, who served on two work groups looking into workforce problems, cites this certification problem as significant. The Board of Dentistry is supported entirely by fees paid by dentists and hygienists. The dental assistants pay for their own certification. We think the transfer of authority will eliminate this overregulation and make for better use of funding resources used by the health service without a diminishment of safety for dental patients. Thank you very much.
Jane?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, we have tried, ODA has tried very hard, I think, over 10 years to work out this problem with rulemaking, and we would request a legislative change at this point to give it back to the Board of Dentistry. It worked fine when they had the requirements earlier, and there was never any problem with safety records as far as we know, and we would like to see to make it a little easier for the dental assistants to get that certification, which makes them a valuable employee in the dental office. They are primarily the personnel who are taking x-rays.
Any questions for Representative Anderson?
Mr. Chair, would there be any difference, because this is all paid by fees, would there be any difference in terms of cost to the government?
I don't see any.
There is a cost at this point, I'm sure.
Well, as far as the government, I think it might. It removes some responsibility, it appears, from the Health Services Division, therefore freeing up some staff time, I would imagine, from to do things for them. They might be able to do something else. It's not taking away the x-ray part of where they're inspecting the machines by any means. It's just the training requirements and overseeing and having a third duplicative type things where you've got the Board of Dentistry and the Health Services looking at the training requirements.
One quick. Occurs to me that, and you might want to comment on the difference of radiation involved in dentistry and in most of the other fields.
The radiation. I'm not a radiographer myself, but in all of my experience and sitting in on discussions, there's a significant difference in radiation. And I get the calls from the patient asking about, you know, is it the same as if I was having my whole body radiated? No. The amounts are minute. And when we went through this hoop, too, because we had training programs here in Oregon through the community colleges that were stopped from allowing their dental assistants in their training programs from coming and pushing the button. Was there some concern about whether or not they could push the button if they were in a dental training program doing their clinics? And we seem to have resolved some of that part of it, but there was not a significant amount of radiation that anyone would have to be concerned about in taking a dental x-ray.
May I follow up?
Yes.
Fine. So help me understand this. So how would this compare, or is it you don't know, say, with a mammogram?
I don't know the range in mammograms. I really couldn't respond to that.
Can you compare it to any other x-ray that a person might have?
I would have to defer to one of our dentists if they could possibly help me out.
Maybe I can answer
that. Okay. Yeah.
We're talking about a tiny film as opposed to a chest-sized film. And quite a bit of difference in the act of the radiation. A lot more radiation goes in to activate a huge film as opposed to a 1x1 inch film.
Great, thank you.
Any other questions?
Thank you
very much. I'm going to close the public hearing on House Bill 3508, and we will reschedule this for Friday when hopefully we have our committee here. And now we got four little taps I'm going to do. So open the public hearing on House Bill 3122, close the public hearing on House Bill 3122, open the public hearing on House Bill 3285, close the public hearing on House Bill 3285, open the public hearing on House Bill 3394, close the public hearing on House Bill 3394, open the public hearing on House Bill 3411, close the public hearing on House Bill 3411. You notice I slowed down when the list is shorter, so, and we are adjourned.